I've got to be honest with you, if you went out and went to a disco or a party over the weekend and you didn't hear that, then that DJ needs to be sacked. That's the sort of stuff that's played at every wedding, birthday, and they have others, you know. That's Modern Romance and The Best Years of Our Lives. And I'm so pleased to say that on the other end of this telephone is Andy Kiriakou from Modern Romance. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Mac. How's it going, mate?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not bad.
Good. Now, we should get, the last time I saw you was probably about 10 years ago. You came to the Isle of Wight on your motorbikes.
That's right.
Do you remember?
I do, indeed, yeah.
Modern Romance and motorbikes. It doesn't sort of... And I looked out the window and I thought, he's on a motorbike. And I thought, Modern Romance and motorbikes don't really sort of... Don't conjure up that vision, does it?
Well, no, because we haven't got that sort of hard man biker image. But on the side, see, I'm a closet biker and I take it out and, you know, I must admit I'm a fair weather rider. I go out on nice days. In those days, when I saw you last, I did used to go out in the rain and I used to go like an idiot to every Arsenal game, no matter what the weather was like. Whereas now, I don't go on the bike. If it looks like it's going to rain or anything like that, I'd just say, no, I'm staying home. But I was a bit hardier at the time and, you know, a bit more like, yeah, I'm getting in there, you know. But, yeah, the bike, which is one of those things that, midlife crisis, I suppose, discovered it and went off into the blue yonder.
Are you ever going to come back to the island and this time you bring your bikes, but bring the band?
I would love to. I mean, we've actually done a gig before I met you that time and before I met you on the subsequent coach. We did come and do a gig at the Isle of Wight. It's the only time we've done one. And it was about 2000 and... maybe 2006, 7.
Right.
So it's quite a time ago, but we did a gig. It was a Valentine's Day gig. Really successful, really good. But nothing's ever happened for us. No one's ever thought, oh, let's invite them back again. And, you know, so it's...
Well,
we're waiting.
I'm going to change that. I'm going to put you in touch with someone, and hopefully we'll get Modern Romance on the island before the end of the year. That would be really good.
Brilliant, yeah.
Okay, look, loads I want to chat to you about, Andy. I mean, obviously you had all those hits in the early '80s, and you're still doing stuff, but you haven't released a single. This is the first single, first new material from you. Then for how long?
About 32 years.
Why has it taken so long?
I couldn't find my way out of the bedroom. I don't know what excuse to give you, really, to be honest. It's just basically, you know, when you sort of carry on doing what you're doing. You're doing your gigs, you're doing stuff, you're talking to newspaper people, radio people, just general day-to-day running of the brand, which it is at the end of the day. And then something happened, and I thought, do you know what? We've never released a single. But why have we not done this? And we've been playing this song for a while at gigs and saying, this is going to be on our new album, this is going to be the first single when we release the album. And I thought, why am I waiting to release the album before I release a single? Why don't I just release a single first as a kind of prelude to the album, and then it will remind people, and so they'll look out for the album when it comes out. And I thought, you know what, just go for it. And that's what happened. I just made a phone call, said, listen, let's release it now. And the guy from the label went, oh, okay then, and off we went.
Well, it is. I mean, I've heard it many times, and it's like stepping back in time, and it is. It's just like, hey, look, this is almost like the next step that was, you know, which would have taken place a couple of years after those massive hits that you had. I've just tested this, and I went out into the office, and I said to Claire, who's roughly the same age as me, and the first thing I said, I'm just about to talk to Andy from Modern Romance, and she said, oh, aye, Moosey, aye, and I thought, yeah, see, no one would forget it, would they?
See, the funny thing is, everyone you speak to who remember Modern Romance will give you a different response. If you say Modern Romance, someone starts singing Best Years of Our Lives, someone else starts singing Moosey, they identify, oh yeah, Moosey, yeah. Someone else you speak to starts singing Everybody Salsa. It's just very strange that everybody sort of have got a signature, their signature tune for Modern Romance is the one they remember us for. And when you mention the other ones, oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. But that one, for some reason, is the one that sticks to me. So it's good because different songs stick with different people, which means we're not known for one song only.
Yeah, too right. I mean, it is. There's one song you didn't mention there, which is not out of the same ilk as the others, but it was. I think it might have been your biggest hit, and certainly my old radio boss. It was his favourite record, "Walking in the Rain."
Yeah, I mean, that was a weird one as well, because that was one of the highest-selling singles, not for us, generally of the year. It sold so many copies of that record. It went silver, then it went gold, then it went platinum, and it went to whatever it went, you know. But what it did is it sold large numbers, but not large enough to go further up the charts than it went. But it carried on selling consistently. So, I mean, you know how the charts work. So it got to number nine, and we thought, oh, yeah, marvellous, you know, selling loads of records every week to get to number nine. And then the following week, it stayed at number nine, which means it sold a significant amount of records, but not more than the boys around us for us to kind of leapfrog them. We thought, okay, so that's it, we're on the way out now. And then a week later, it went up to number seven. So something happened for it to sell even more records. But when you added up all those weeks of selling records consistently, and it wasn't until many years later that I found out it was one of the biggest selling records of the year. And I thought, that's strange, especially with it being a ballad, and yeah, a ballad from a band like us.
Yeah, because that's pretty much, I mean, you are, you know, party, happy-go-lucky, Latino, you know, how would you describe your music? I think I've just done a pretty good job.
Well, when I write to people and I describe it, say, you know, I'm from 80s pop salsa band, because basically we're a pop band influenced by salsa, so that's how I term it. I mean, ostensibly we are a pop band, but with very strong Latin undertones.
Where can we see you live at the moment? I mean, you're doing gigs, as you said. Whereabouts are you going? Where are you touring?
We hope to set up a tour in April, May, to promote the album, obviously. So we're looking at it at the moment, and we're looking at theatre tours, a possible theatre tour. But we're doing one-off, so we're doing 80s festivals and 80s one-off events all over the place. Mm. Unfortunately, nothing on the Isle of Wight.
We'll have to change that.
We can't afford the boat to get over there. We can't afford our own. But see, I said the next time I go to the Isle of Wight, I want to go on my own boat. Because I haven't bought my own boat yet, then we can't come over. Not going to happen.
See, I think Isle of Wight Festival, that would be brilliant. On a Saturday afternoon in the sunshine, Modern Romance doing all their hits. God,
I'd love to do the Isle of Wight Festival. Funny enough, was it last year? Last year or the year before? I met the guy, one of the guys who runs the Isle of Wight. I met him at an event here in London, and I went, oh, well, you know, if you ever need this, you know. I thought, throw my name into the hat, or our name into the hat. Never heard from him, but that means nothing. This is a sort of industry where he could phone up Morris, actually. Yeah, I've just came across your car, your name, or whatever. Yes, Modern Romance, we want you. And then I might never hear him. So yeah, it's one of these strange industries where things can happen overnight. You know, you can't bet on anything. It's weird.
How do you? I mean, I'm guessing you do all those hits and more, but I'm guessing you do them in a more modern way now. So well,
I mean, I've got a different range of them, because the thing is, you can't do them exactly like the record, because then it's a 3-minute song, a replica of the record. You don't want that. It's live. We have a lot of interaction with the audience. You know, we put solos in where there weren't solos before, and we just change things around and little breakdowns and bits, just to make it a bit more interesting and interesting for the audience, but also a bit more interesting and intricate for us as a band. So it's not just a you know, literally a copy of the record, because, you know, at the end of the day, as musicians, we like to think we're creative, so we want to become creative and get it, start getting something, just changing it slightly and just making it different to the original, but even putting our own stamp on it.
Do you know what? I know certain people that do gigs on the island, and I know that Modern Romance would go down so well at one of these gigs. All of them, in fact. Would you do? I mean, I'm a real anorak when it comes down to old B-sides and things like that. And there's one that's just popped into my head, which I used to really love, because it was similar to the A-side, but it wasn't like an instrumental. It was like, there's a moose on the roof, tear the moose off the roof, or something like that.
Yeah, it was just like a funk. We just like took a section of the song and just basically funked it up and put, you know, just bass and drums and just kept going around a thing, around the kind of rhythm, and made it a bit more of a club mix.
Do you do that live still?
We don't, but I suppose if we've got a gig in on the Isle of Wight, I could sit down and say to the band, right, we're relearning this, refresh ourselves on this, and we're going to change it and do it like the old days in, you know, the 80s, I mean, there's just so much stuff. If I go over the back catalogue of Modern Romance, I surprise myself, because I kind of find B-sides. And when I speak to people, and they say, oh, yeah, you know, you did this and that. And I go, yeah, actually. Because when we originally started off with one singer who well, limited. Let's just say he was limited in his ability. And then we've got a second singer afterwards, who's a guy who did Best Years of Our Lives, High Life, Walking in the Rain. He had a phenomenal voice. And because of that, we were able to change the style of the songs and get a bit more creative, get a bit funkier, get a bit more soulful. So a lot of our B-sides, a lot of our album tracks, when I listen to them now, and people go, really, that's you lot. You know, we've done covers, I mean, I don't know if you know, in those days we did covers of things like Abraham, Martin and John. We did Just My Imagination. All like classic soul tunes that I grew up with, that I love as a, you know, little soul boy that I was, you know, as a sort of 17-year-old. And here we were doing our own versions of them because we had somebody that could sing them. So we've got those as well that we can play as well. I mean, I didn't sing them obviously at the time, but because we had someone that could sing them, it gave us the opportunity to experiment a bit more and you know, sort of spread our wings and play stuff that wasn't purely Latin American influence, but, you know, it was a bit more soulful.
Honestly, it's fascinating to talk to you, and, you know, talking about catalogues and things like that. How do we get hold of these songs that you just mentioned, your versions of these songs?
Well, if you send me a cheque for £4,000... That's per song, by the way. Times are hard.
Yeah.
Right, how do you get hold? Well,
I suppose you've got to see you live. Is that it?
Well, you've got to see us live, but, I mean, the thing is, a lot of those songs are only available because they're the B-sides of singles. So you've got to actually physically go and get the singles, if you can find them.
Right.
To get these songs. I've got them, obviously, on CD because I had a special mix made for me in later years, and I've got a lot. I've got virtually everything on CD.
Yeah.
But to the public, they're not generally available unless you go and buy a single or an album, and those tracks are on there.
Be a great radio show, Andy.
Sorry?
Be a great radio show.
Oh, well, okay, well, I suppose we could sort one out. I'm sure we could. The Modern Romance Back Catalogue Show.
Brilliant. That's a deal. We should do that. Honestly, we should do that.
Okay, but I'll find stuff that blows socks off, because you'll sort of think, what, this is Modern Romance? I mean, it really doesn't sound like us at all, because the style is so different. You know, it's quite funky, it's quite clubby, and you're sort of thinking, yeah, you know, I mean, I enjoy listening to those ones, because I forget it's us. I'm like, oh, yes, it's great, and I think, oh, no, that's me playing on there. That's the boys, yeah, but it's just a completely different feel.
No,
and it's a refreshing feel. Not that there's anything wrong with the Latin thing, but it was nice to look back and think, yeah, we actually could play different stuff at the time, especially once we've got a singer that could handle this kind of stuff, and we went on to a different plateau after that.
I was going to ask you, obviously things were different back then. You were probably more busier with the band than you are now, so it gives you time to do other things. And I've read somewhere you've written a book.
No, I'm transcribing my diaries.
Right.
That's one thing that I'm doing. I've also been doing some journalism, which entails going to... It's really difficult, actually, because I have to go to... They pay for me to go to different countries and write about stuff, and it's terrible. It's awful. What can I say? You know, going to Tunisia, Austria, Luxembourg, Belgium. I mean, it's awful. What can I say? But,
yeah.
No, but that's... I've been writing about food and travel, so I write about the place, and I obviously... Food and travel go hand in hand, so I'll write about the food, local food, local cuisine, or, you know, if I'm in a five-star hotel, fine, I'll write about that. So, I mean, some of the food I've had has been absolutely amazing. Some of the best food I've had has been on these trips. And don't forget, we travelled a lot with Modern Romance. We went all over the world and had some great meals.
Mm.
But still, some of the food I've had on these journalism trips, because obviously we're there, I'm there to write about the place. So they're giving it their best shot, and I'm getting five-star rosette meals flipping, forget it. I'm looking at it thinking, this actually looks too good to eat. It's presented so well. It's fantastic. And I'm very sort of lucky to have gotten into that purely by accident. I took the motorbikes. I rode a bike across the Austrian Alps into Switzerland, and was supposed to go on into France, but it was raining, and I thought, I've had enough of this, so I never bothered. So I turned back. But anyway, but I did that, and that was primarily for one motorbike magazine, and it ended up being in 7 publications because it was such an all-round, they said it's such an all-round, it's not just about bikes, that sort of encompassed everything that I saw and wrote about it. And it ended up being in 7 magazines, and that in itself pushed me further into the sights of other people, and they're saying, can you write for us? And I laugh. I laugh. They say, can you write as a celebrity writer? And I think, who's a celebrity? Oh, all right then, okay, that's me. And I find, you know, but I don't view myself as that, so it's really weird. But when they say to you, yeah, can you be a celebrity writer? I find it quite funny. They go, okay, then come on, let's do it. You know, you can't say no, because I get to see a lot of the world.
Hmm.
Aside from seeing it with Modern Romance, when we do get to travel out, but I get to see it by myself, and, you know, riding around, doing what I want. You know, well, I say riding around, I only did one bike thing, but the rest of the time it's guided, so I've got someone driving me everywhere. I've been to Tunisia 4 times. In actual fact, 3 of the times in Tunisia were as press trips, and the 4th time I was talking to one of their guys, and I mentioned that I'd like to take pictures in Tunisia for some of the places we've been to, because I was so impressed, I want pictures taken for the cover of the album. They said, oh, fine, okay, we'll arrange that. And I said, excuse me? And they went, no, we'll pay for it. You just tell us the dates you want to go. We'll have, you know, a guide with you. You can take your photographer with you. And the 3 of us went off and north Tunisia, and then I'd say, oh, yeah, I want to go to the Star Wars site. Okay, fine. You know, plane over to the Star Wars site, then down to south Tunisia. And I thought, oh, this is marvellous. I like this. I could get used to this.
Best of all worlds, things. As I say, you know, you've got the band and all of that going on as well. Just to come back to the book thing, because you said you got you're transcribing the diaries from the 1980s. It also says here that you're looking to secure a publishing deal because you have a children's book, first in series. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've written the pilot in what's hoped to be a series, and it's based on a character. That's why it's a series. It's a character he goes through throughout the whole book. He's doing what he's doing, and it's a way of teaching children. It's just an idea I had based on something that I saw on TV, and my brain went into overdrive, and I've written this book whereby children would learn about everyday things at a young age, but very simply, though, obviously not as complex as it gets when you're older and you know all these, you know. I mean, explaining to children about Brexit, explaining to a 5 or 8 year old about Brexit is one thing, and then getting to the stage where we are now, where we're looking at the news and it's all about Brexit and 100,000 things are on there a minute, you don't expect children to understand that, but you could hopefully explain the basics of what the European, you know, Union is.
Mm.
Not so much that. I wrote this book before Brexit. I had the idea. But it's basically a way for children to learn about, the first book, it's to learn about how the country's run, very simply, you know, quite innocently, but for them to understand, you know, for example, what an MP is.
When will all this be out, Andy?
The deal I'm hoping to start looking into, I'm concentrating more on the album at the moment, but as soon as I get it, and the diaries I'm transcribing as I go along, because it's 5 years worth from 6 years worth, from 80 to 86. And I've done the first year so far, and I'll give you an idea. My other half and my son, I said to them, well, do you want to read? And they went, yeah. So my son went off to read it, and then my other half, on a different occasion, came in, and I was doing sort of, and I said, do you want to read what I've done so far? And she said, yeah. And I went in the kitchen to do something, and I could hear her laughing. And when I came back, she said, it's nothing less than what I expected, because our readers are mostly older readers, so they'll understand this. I've never been a drinker. I'm completely teetotal. I don't do drugs. I've never smoked. So there's only one vice left, really. And that's where I came into it. So the whole book is about people I've met, famous people, this day. You know, the whole diary will be about people I've met and, you know, meetings we've had and passing ships in the night, etc. Many passing ships in the night. And, of course, she was reading it and laughing because she knows my history. And she said, it's nothing. It's nothing new. Nothing that I didn't expect. So it's going to be pretty raunchy, I suppose is the word. The diary.
You've sold me. When will it be out? Will it be out this year? Next year? How long?
I would imagine next year, because this. I would love to say this year, but it took so long to transcribe that first year because I'm trying to read this minute writing that looks like a spider ran across the page. And I'm sitting there thinking, what did I write that? Oh, yeah, you know. And you'd be surprised how long it takes you to transcribe a month. Because although there might not be a lot going on, and what I'll do is, like, the page is small, so I'd make very small writing and write loads of details, little things on there, and I have to read it. And then what I'm doing at the moment is putting the main points down on the laptop, so I've got it all out of the diary, it's there, and then I have to go back to it and expand on it, and as opposed to bullet points, now expand it into a story.
Mm.
And there are some stories that I sort of think, oh, that's, you know, that's a nice little, that's a nice one. Oh, that, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about this. Because I can't remember it all. And I read it and I think, oh, okay, yeah, of course, you know, I kind of remember meeting them. And, I mean, I'll give you an example, one example. We did a TV show that was broadcast live to Australia. So obviously it's at silly o'clock in the morning because it's evening in Australia. So we're filming at 3-4 in the morning, so the Aussies can watch it live on the evening TV. And Elton John and Rod Stewart were on the same show as well. And when it finished, we were all in the foyer talking and chatting. And they mentioned they were going to the Cup Final that day because it was when Elton was chairman of Watford. And he said, we're going to the Cup Final today. Yeah, you know, blah, blah, what are you guys doing? And someone in the band piped up and said, oh, Andy's really into football. He loves football. They turned around and said to me, would you like to, oh, do you want to come with us? Elton John and Rod Stewart asked me if I wanted to go to a football match with them. And I said no. And to prove to you, just to illustrate how naive you can be, I'm doing a gig this month, for the LGBT community. So just to give you an idea, I went involved into that kind of thing because I fully support it. My kids, all of us were real supporters of it. But at the time, being a young person myself, and it's a very different era, my brain said to me straight away, well, hang on, you've got a gay guy asking you to go to a football match with him, and Rod Stewart, who we know is dabbled, you know, why are they asking you? And I kind of mentally took a step backwards. I thought, oh, no, I wonder why they're asking. No. And I sort of think, now, I think, you idiot. Anything could have happened. You could have gone and become friends with him and written a song with Elton John. You could have ended up playing in Rod Stewart's band for all you know. Anything could have, that's how these things happen in the music industry. That's how I met Modern Romance, through chance meeting. And I sit there now and think, you're an idiot. You should have gone. You would have enjoyed the football match. You would have had a great, because I love football. You would have had a great football match. But it just goes to show how, when you're young and inexperienced, and you do let your naivety get the better of you. There's no one to advise me and go, look, Andy, you know what? They're asking you because they're genuine guys. Just go with them. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I mean, there are lots of little things in there like that, little meetings. I've got some great ones with, like, much bigger, well, say much bigger. You can't get much bigger than Rodney Elton, but equally as big people that we've met backstage, little things that happened. Yeah, so it would be interesting.
Andy, but I can't wait to read this.
And I've got some photos as well, which are kind of like people are, you can't debate as to whether they're genuine or not because they were taken on a Kodak Instamatic those days. So there you go, you know, they're real. And I have got, because those are the carrier camera everywhere and just take silly pictures wherever we were, whatever was going on. And I've got some that are definitely like eyebrow raising and start, excuse me, is this real? Of course it's real, yeah.
Hello, Andy. We're running out of time, and I can't wait to read your book. I really can't. You've got to get that out as soon as possible. And what I'll do is I'll get there's a couple of people I know that put on gigs, and I'm going to get them so we get Modern Romance over to the Isle of Wight. Talk us through your new single.
Right, new single. It's called "Rhythm Is My Lover." Ironically, it wasn't a deliberate ploy on my part, but I released it as the first single when I sat back and looked at what we had, and I thought, hey, I'm reintroducing the band on the what's left of the singles market, because it's not really a singles market like it used to be, but still, I thought I'm going to release it as an introduction to today's Modern Romance. And it just happens to be a song that mentions lots of Latin American countries, lots of Latin American music styles. It's called "Rhythm Is My Lover," which Modern Romance are very much, you know, about rhythm, you know, there's a rhythmic thing going throughout the whole band all the time, throughout our music. And I thought, you know what, this song kind of encapsulates what we're about. and I think it's a good song to reintroduce us to the younger audience and to the older ones as well, obviously. But again, I gave it some thought. I thought, no, this is the one now, because originally I was going to release a song called 7 Days, which is another great song, but I just thought this one was more appropriate considering the amount of time we've been away, and then, you know, the fact that it does introduce all those elements all over again. You know, not say all over again, it introduces all those elements about the band.
Well, it sounds like you've never been away when you listen to the song. We're going to play it now, Andy. It's our record of the week, and hopefully we shall chat very soon. And you tell us more about the new album when it comes out. We'll do this again, and hopefully you'll get that phone call to say, hey, come and play the Isle of Wight.
Absolutely, I'd love to. I really would.
Brilliant. Thanks, Andy. Great to talk to you. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Chile and Brazil. So now I